The Chris Byrne Show, powered by Dynamic Money, creating personal financial plans built for life.
Well, it's Sunday afternoon. Welcome to the Chris Byrne Show. So excited to have you along because so much is going on. And one of the things I've heard the most from people, one of the questions I've gotten the most from both clients and then just people that have written in and to the show, et cetera, has just been, what's going to happen to my 401k in the election season? Like, what's going to happen based on who wins this election? Where is the market going to go? And so if you have that question, we're going to dig into that. If you want to talk about it or have a question related to it, the number is 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 to be a part of the show. So I want to pause just for a moment and recognize just a loss that I saw a lot of people from just across the spectrum, and I felt this too. Chadwick Boseman dead at 43 from colon cancer. What a remarkable impact, and even more remarkable that so much of the incredible work that he made while going through surgeries and chemotherapy and in between sessions, and nobody knew about this, and what incredible strength. And so just mourning his passing, as I know so many of us are. But again, the stock market is in record territory right now. Hard to believe. If we had said 3-4 months ago that we would be in record territory, I think most of us would have gone, I don't know about that's going to happen. I mean, you know, we saw a massive drop in the market at the end of, you know, midway through the year. And most people were going, this is going to be the end. It's going to take a long time for us to get back and see the market recover. And yet here we are in record territory. So of course we shift to the next question, which is, well, how is that going to change? When is it going to change? And the answer most people are giving is it's the election. The election is going to be the big difference maker. And let me give you an example of this. So Politico comes out with an article, and I just want you to listen to this for a second. It says economists say that a Trump win would tank the markets. And go on. It says Wall Street is set up for a major crash if Donald Trump shocks the world and again wins the White House. New research out on Friday suggests that financial markets strongly prefer a Biden presidency and could react with panic selling should Trump defy the polls. Now, you hear that, and I'm sure many of you immediately have a response to that and go, I don't know, that's ridiculous, that's crazy, and so let me just play my hand up front and tell you, yeah, the reality is that was written back on October 21st of 2016, and you can just substitute Biden's name for Hillary Clinton there, because that was the prevailing mindset at that point across the board, and this was not just a liberal left-leaning, the world's going to end if Trump is lucky, that was across the board. Right. So Politico saying a Trump win would tank the markets. And that's what Wall Street is saying. But not just Politico back in 2016. In 2016, CNN Money reported, quote, if Donald Trump wins, U.S. stocks will almost certainly tank. They quoted one firm who predicted an 8% drop if Trump won. And the Brookings Institute predicted a 10 to 15% drop if Trump were to win. And then we all know what happened, right? The actual reality was Trump wins and we see this explosion in the market. And before you stop and go, well, what that means is clearly Trump being reelected means the market's going to explode. I think we're missing the point at that moment. The problem here is our willingness to predict something that we simply can't predict. Our willingness to say this is what's going to happen if this certain candidate comes into office. And friends, that is problematic. So for all the questions I've been getting from people about, well, you know, I kind of want to do this in the market. I'm not sure. Should I pull stuff from the market again? Let me just ask you this question. When are we going to get off this cycle? When are we going to get off this cycle that says, look, if this happens, the world is going to end. Armageddon is going to be here. I'm going to lose everything I have. The world's going to stop. Because that cycle isn't harming the people that are pushing it out. It's not harming the media. It's not harming the politicians. That cycle is harming you, and it's harming me. Let me give you a good example of this that actually has just come out, okay, from both sides. So Salon, who's a far-left publication, comes out in, let's see, this was in August 13th, Okay, and the name of the article, if Biden wins, get ready for Trump to punish America. Okay, to punish America. What do they mean by that? They literally say if Biden wins, Trump will do everything possible to throw our economy into the worst depression we've ever been in. That's where we're going to be. Okay, what if, quote, I'm going to quote him here. What if Trump decides to punish America for not being sufficiently loyal to him, and that punishment is to drive America into a second Republican Great Depression while he's handing the government over to Biden? He now has the power to make this depression amplified by the pandemic far, far worse than the Republican Great Depression of 1930. Now that he's cowed the Fed, it's almost like it was set up in advance. Okay, so you hear that, and I think most of you listening hear that and you go, that is ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous to think that if Trump loses, he's going to do everything possible to destroy the economy just basically out of vengeance. Literally, the subtext to the article, it says, if Biden wins, get ready for Trump to punish America. The subtext is, revenge is as sweet to Trump as a race war. So very clearly showing their hands. And so I think all of us should look at this and go, that's ridiculous. That's not helpful. That's pushing us in the wrong direction. And most of us would go, that's nonsense, okay? But it's not just on that side. Let's look at what our president has said, okay? Let me just read out some of his tweets. On June 15th, the president tweeted, quote, if anyone but me takes over, there will be a market crash, the likes of which has not been seen before. July 6th, he tweets, if you want your 401ks and stocks, which are getting close to all-time highs again, to disintegrate and disappear, vote for the radical left, do nothing Democrats, and corrupt Joe Biden. July 27th, the president tweets, if sleepy Joe Biden, the puppet of the left, ever won, markets would crash, cities would burn, our country would suffer like never before. Now tell me that's not as radical as the Salon article I just read. And I get it. You listen to a lot of conservative commentators and they go, you know what, just kind of ignore what the president says on Twitter. Just look at the policies, look at what he's done over the last few years, ignore what he says. And yet there's a subsection of the population that's reading this and going, holy cow, if Biden wins, my 401k is gone. The world's going to end. It's Armageddon. It's what psychologists tend to refer to as catastrophizing. And the same from the left. If Trump were to lose, he's going to try to tank the economy, purposefully come in and create the worst Great Depression, destroy as many American lives as possible, just out of revenge. It's on both sides. And so, friends, the question is really, why does any of this matter? Well, let me tell you two things. First of all, regardless of who wins, historically speaking, we shouldn't expect to begin to understand what that's going to do to the market. There are so many things influencing the market. 2016, perhaps the best example and the most recent, so easy to call upon, where literally the entire market, we've talked about this before, the entire world was saying if Trump wins and beats Hillary, which no one expected, then the markets will crash. And even on election night, as you were watching the banners under the results coming in, you saw it saying over and over, S&P futures down, Dow futures down, here comes the economic collapse. And then what happened? The exact opposite, one of the greatest surges in the market we've ever seen. But so many people were willing to come in and say, this is what's going to happen. Now, I don't particularly give a rip about all the folks out there that like to make predictions. Predictions bother the snot out of me because guess what? Sometimes they're going to be right. If you make 100 predictions and one of those predictions is right, and then forever you say, well, I was right then. Okay, great. Good for you. 99 times you were dead wrong. What I worry about is what it does to you and to me if we act on these things. That's the real issue here. You'd think we'd learn from our lesson. You would think we would look back historically and say, wait a minute, there's a cycle here. And what is the cycle? The cycle is that we have a significant market drop of some sort or another, that anxiety starts to spread, that we make significant choices then about the way that we're invested in the short term because of anxiety and fear, and then we lose out on the gains. Let's look back just a few months. Again, we saw like a 36% drop in the market, right? We saw a huge drop in the market a few months ago. I had people calling me and saying, look, I know you're not supposed to pull out when the market's bad, but I know because I'm a business person, et cetera. This time it's different. I can see it's different this time, and I can't afford to lose what I have. And so I need to put everything I have into cash right now. Well, what's happened in the last few months? What's happened? The market's back up to record territory. Now, we'll talk in a few minutes about why that is, but those folks participated in the loss. They participated in this massive drop. Then they got out and lost all the gain to come back up, severely damaging their future, damaging their retirement. Why? Because of anxiety in the moment. And where does that anxiety come from? It comes from this kind of catastrophizing. That if the other side wins, or if this certain event happens, or if the market drops, it's going to be the end, and so I have to protect myself. But if you live that way, and you live that cycle, you're going to severely damage your portfolio long term. And we see it over and over and over again. We saw it in 2008 when the market dropped dramatically. People got out of the market because they were scared. And then they didn't get back in because they didn't know when it was good to get back in. They lost out on one of the best recoveries we've ever seen. And it's all based out of this idea of fear. And politicians are capitalizing on this like crazy right now. They're trying to push us into thinking if the other side wins, it's going to be Armageddon. It's going to be the end of the world. We're not going to continue on. And so some people, more than you would think, because I hear from them on a regular basis, buy into this, make significant financial choices because of that, and then find themselves truly damaged in the long term. Friends, if you live in that cycle, that's what will hurt you. Regardless of who wins the election, it's not about that. It's about your response to the fear of what might happen.
Can't get enough of Chris? Follow him on Twitter at CW Burns for more.
Welcome back to the show. Again, if you want to talk about just what you think about what's going to happen in the election, or we're going to in a minute talk about housing specifically, because I think that's a huge issue right now. Why in the world, if the economy is not doing well, is housing seemingly doing so well? Numbers 404-872-0750. But again, if you were to listen to either side, to Republicans or Democrats, it's Armageddon and the end of the world if the other side wins, and they're both going to tank the economy and we're all going to be done for. I had one person that I spoke with a few months ago after the initial crash in the market dropped dramatically. They were already in a conservative portfolio. They were built. They had literally built the portfolio for if something bad happened in the market because they were close to retirement, they wanted to make sure they would still be okay. And that's what happened, right? The market dropped significantly, but because they're in a conservative portfolio, they don't lose a ton. And yet when they called me, they said, you know what? I just can't handle it. I can't handle the risk that we might lose everything. We've worked so hard for all this. I just don't see this coming back. I've got to move forward with this. I've got to put my money into cash. And we talked about it, and that's just where they were at. Even though they already had a portfolio built for the kind of drop we experienced, which means what? It means they missed out on all the gains. We're back in record territory, and they missed all that. Because in the moment, the fear can be so palpable. And I see the same thing happen as we come into the election, because I've had so many people call and email and reach out and go, what's going to happen in the market? Here's the key, friends. The lesson is, the market's not necessarily going to go up or down based on who wins. I mean, that may happen. It's going to factor in. It's going to be a part of it. But you and I have no idea what it's going to do or how to predict that. It's consistently shown us that. We just can't predict it. And so we have to set up a portfolio that says I'm ready for the market to drop. But if the market doesn't drop, I'll be okay based on my age. If it does drop, I'm still going to be okay. I'm still going to follow through. What I'm not going to do, though, and this is the hardest part, is when the real bad stuff happens, when there really is anxiety, when there are riots in the streets and there's a pandemic going on and there's an economy struggling, everything inside you might be screaming, I need to abandon the plan that I made, that I already thought about all this back when it wasn't happening. The plan that says I'm going to be okay. I've already adjusted my risk, for those of you that have done that, so that I'm okay. And suddenly we have this tendency to go, no, I'm going to abandon this. Because what if, what if, what if? What if it's Armageddon? What if the president's tweets are right? What if Salon is right? What if it's going to all go downhill? If you believe that, probably time to move now. But if you don't believe that, then stick to your guns here. Stick to the way that you've invested. If it's healthy, based on your age, if you have the right risk tolerance, etc., if you've done all that correctly, don't fall victim to the tendency to say, I'm going to change everything I've worked for, I'm going to change all this planning, and I'm going to risk losing significant amounts of money because my anxiety in the moment is too much for me to handle. Friends, the election will have some sort of impact. None of us know what it is. So just make sure that your portfolio is set up, that you feel confident whether the market's up or down, that you're going to be okay, because in the end, that's what matters.
Check out DynamicMoney.com to get started on a financial plan built for life.
Are you thinking about housing? Do you have questions about it? Are you considering making a move? Now is our time to talk about it. You can call into the show. It's 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Would love to talk about housing with you because it doesn't make a lot of sense. Are you confused by this? So, and it's part of this overall narrative of, is the economy doing bad, first of all? Yes, I'll talk about that briefly for a second. Then why in the world is the market hitting record territory right now? But not only that, housing is exploding right now. And I kind of want to focus in on the housing side. It'll help explain a little bit of what's going on in the market, I think. But also specifically because so many of us think about housing so much. And if you've been thinking in the last few years about, I need to sell my home, it's time to sell, we want to move to a new place, we need to move to a different place for a job, or you want to just renovate your home, or what? There's all the different things that we sit and consider constantly if you own a house, or if you want to own a house for the first time, and then suddenly you have something like this happen, right? And let's talk about expectations for a second. I think everyone expected, because of the last crisis, because of 2008, that we would see housing just collapse. And that we would see some, because the overall economy was going downhill, that we would see all sorts of foreclosures and we would see just a drop in home values across the board. And we've seen the opposite, right? Redfin reports that the coronavirus hasn't dragged home prices down. In fact, quote, we've seen just the opposite. Prices are rising in spite of the pandemic. Right now, 30-year fixed mortgage rates, lowest we've ever seen them, right under 3%. If you got the credit to qualify for it, both for mortgages and even refinances have insanely low refinance rates right now. And so housing is doing the opposite of what you would expect in a recession. Now, why is that? And let's talk about this for a second. First of all, is the economy really doing badly? Is the economy in bad shape? Well, just to give you, we could point at any number of snapshots, but just, I thought this was interesting. The Wall Street Journal recently came out with a tool you could use to look at your area and understand the impact on small businesses. So just to give you one snapshot, right? In Metro Atlanta, small business revenue down about 30% from January, and over 170,000 small businesses, but pause, 170,000 small businesses in the Atlanta metro area are considered high risk for financial difficulty in the coming year. So in other words, again, we could point to any number of statistics here of unemployment. We could point to small businesses. We could point to consumer spending and how it's kind of come up and how it's stagnating and what's going on with the coronavirus. But overall, I think we can all see pretty darn clearly the economy is not near. I mean, we've got a long way to go, friends, a long way to go. Now, in that kind of a situation, we would expect to see housing be in trouble. And why is that? Well, it's just basic supply and demand, right? Because if a lot of people are laid off and unemployed, and a significant number of those people own a home, and they can't pay for that home now because their income has dropped dramatically, then you're going to see people moving out of their homes and suddenly foreclosures and overall home values dropping and then a whole lot of supply because people are having to move out, which means that you're going to see, you know, an overall change in your home's value as well as opportunities for people to go in and buy homes inexpensively, et cetera. That's what you would expect. But we've not seen that. In fact, The S&P 500 has a separate gauge. You know, they have different, basically, gauges of different indexes and different types of the market. So the home buying portion, the home building index attached to the S&P 500 is up over 23% this year. Over 23%, the home building, which means that we don't have a supply issue where there's too much supply. We have a demand issue where there's a huge growth in the home builders index because people want to go buy homes that aren't there. And so suddenly home building companies in the short term, like Pulte, et cetera, are getting this huge boost and can't build homes fast enough. That's the opposite of what you would expect. Why is that? Well, why is that comes from government intervention. Now, regardless of your politics and what you think should happen in this, I really don't care about that piece of it. I just want to explain what's going on and then what you and I should be thinking about in light of that. All right, so the government comes in the CARES Act, and we've talked about this a little bit before, and they say, hey, look, we're going to allow anyone with a federally backed mortgage to have a 6-month deferral on payments, a forbearance is what it's called, and then another 6 months if they want it. So up to 12 months, up to a year of not having to pay your home note because of economic difficulty. And this has been a lifesaver for so many Americans, millions of Americans in a position where they're laid off or they're both working and one of the spouses is laid off and they couldn't normally afford their home, but they're able to stay in their home because the government has said if you have a federally backed mortgage, which is the majority of mortgages, then you can stay in your home. But what does that do? It creates ripples across the overall economy, and it ripples even into the market, right? Because it's artificial. It doesn't make sense that a home building index would be up 23% when we're seeing massive layoffs across the board, because normally those layoffs would equal people having to leave their homes because they can't afford them. But the government has said, well, you don't have to pay for them for a year. And again, for individuals, that's been a life-saving thing for so many people. But it's created a bubble. It's an artificial environment. Because how long can that continue? Right? The government can say for a year, we're going to require that you don't have to pay your mortgage, that you can, you know, basically defer the payments long-term. But they're not going to come back in a year, I would imagine, and be able to keep doing that. Eventually, you got to pay for your home. And there's a lot of people right now that claimed forbearance but aren't going to be back to work by the end of that forbearance period. That's just reality. I would love it if the economy is recovered to the point that we're back at the lowest unemployment we've ever seen and month-over-month job growth is incredible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That would be amazing. But that's not necessarily where things, what the indication is right now. And so what that means is that we're artificially creating an environment where there's demand for houses because we're not having people have to move out of their houses if they can't pay for them. And so that is then propping up the market because we have a 23% in growth this year in that portion of the S&P 500, which again, without government intervention saying you don't have to pay, wouldn't be there. And I give you that all as a context because I've seen a lot of articles out there going, pointing to, for instance, housing as an example of how the economy is really doing pretty well and we're coming back and things are going well, as opposed to going, the government has stepped in and created an artificial environment that's allowing people to stay in their houses, which is why there's such a high demand for homes, which is why home values are actually going up still right now, which is why home building is increasing. But that can't go on forever. It just can't. And again, regardless of your politics on this and whether you believe the government should step back and say, you know what, it just is what it is. People are laid off. The economy is going down. They're going to lose their houses. We don't like it, but we're going to let it happen, versus stepping in and having a far more active role in this. Regardless of what you think about it, that's what's going on. And so when you couple historically low interest rates, which we've been talking about for years, and we keep saying they can't go much lower, and then they go lower, right? When you couple that with people not having to leave their houses because they don't have to pay for them, now you create a really unique environment in housing and a bubble in housing because that environment can't last forever. And again, we would like to think the economy will just go, yeah, it's going to come roaring back. None of us know the timeline for how long it's going to take for the economy to get back to the point where unemployment is really diminished dramatically and people could be able to keep their houses. And maybe that year will be long enough. That would certainly be wonderful. But what do you do right now in the midst of it? And again, if you have questions about, well, what should I be doing and looking at in housing as a result of this specific and very unique scenario? Again, it's kind of an artificial scenario that's been put together, but that we're living through right now. 404-872-0750 to answer questions on that and discuss housing. Here are some basic thoughts. Because this won't last forever, at least we certainly can't assume that it will. If you have a move where you can take advantage of this right now, now's not a bad time to look at it. I've talked to some people who go, you know what, we were planning on moving, or we were planning on refinancing, or we were planning on selling, or whatever, and they've gone, but there's so much instability, and then back to what we've talked about in the first section, and the election is coming, and who knows what instability is going to come from that, et cetera, that we think the best thing is just kind of stay put until all this gets itself sorted out. Well, friends, by the time all this gets itself sorted out, there's not necessarily going to be the same opportunities that there are right now. And so part of being wise financially is being able to jump on and go, are there opportunities now? Are there situations right now that I can capitalize on that may not be here long term? And housing right now is one of those. So a few examples of this. I had one person come to me recently and say, again, we're looking at selling. We're looking at moving into a different place. We're just not sure because of the instability. Well, because of the demand out there right now for houses, it is a seller's market. So if you put your, in most places, and again, let me caveat this, you might be in a specific small niche area where that's not the case. And that's why you talk to a local real estate expert that understands your area. But across the board, this is the case. So if you're looking at selling right now, you're getting top dollar for your home. Home values have continued to increase. It's not a bad decision just because overall the economy is not in a great place, because again, the government's kind of artificially allowed the housing portion of the economy to be okay. So maybe now is actually the time you should be considering making that move, or even expediting that move in a way you wouldn't have otherwise, because you see the reality of it does, we have a higher value right now. Another person came, talked about refinancing their house. Should I be looking at refinancing right now? Well, yeah. If you can get a rate that's the lowest rate in history right now, and that money that you get from refinancing, you can either not take any money out and just refinance to a lower rate and have a 30-year fixed mortgage, the lowest rate in history, it's a great time to look at that. Will rates stay this low forever? Of course not. Or certainly if you're in a position right now where you're economically unstable and the most stability that you have is in your house, which is a lot of folks that I talk with, they don't have a lot of savings, they don't have a lot of money invested, they have a decent amount of debt, but they've got a lot of equity built up in their home. Well, this could be the solution for you to refinance at amazing rates, do a cash out refinance, get funds back from that, being able to be able to pay debt down and find yourself in a better position. And trust me, banks are tightening right now. Banks are closing the ability to make a lot of loans because they don't want to lose money when the bubble ends. So if you can take advantage of this time when there's a real estate bubble, now is the time to do it.
Have questions for Chris? Hit him up on Twitter at CWBurns.
So we have this incredible reality in the housing market right now where we're sitting in a bubble. And just to give you an example of what, how much of a bubble this is, banks in every other way are tightening up because they don't expect it. So if you don't believe me that there could be issues in the future where we see significant foreclosures, etc., then just believe what banks are doing, because they're incredibly stingy and they're always looking very conservatively, right? And so USAA, for instance, who would normally offer up to $35,000 historically in personal loans, if you need to get a personal loan, they've tightened that down to the most you can get is $5,000. That's just in the personal loan world. You're going to see that across the board. But let's look at housing, for instance. Chase was the first. JP Morgan Chase came out a number of months ago and did away with home equity lines of credit. Now, these are some of the safest loans imaginable, because they're actually collateralized loans. In other words, you take out a home equity line on your house and they know that they can sell your house to get the money back. So why would they take away home equity lines of credit? Because they don't necessarily believe they'll be able to sell your house for the same value that it is currently. And guess now Wells Fargo's done that, and other major banks have followed their lead. In other words, they're seeing the same things we're seeing. They're seeing the reality that the market has gone up. They're seeing the reality that the home that homes actually are increasing in value, and yet they're still doing away with things like home equity lines of credit, which means they don't believe those are necessarily going to stay long term. So here we sit. What do you do about that? Well, one caveat on this, and we said take advantage of it. If you can refinance, if you've been looking to sell and your home value is going up right now, that could be a huge advantage for you. It could be a way that you could accomplish some of the things you want to do. My only caveat on this is be careful that you don't, on the flip side, get so excited about low interest rates and the ability to maybe be able to get into a larger home or something and say, well, we can, because of low interest rates, it's less expensive, we can stay in there long term. Because the economy still is fragile, incredibly fragile, and we don't know what's going to happen. And so make sure you don't take advantage of this to the point that you put yourself in a position that if things go downhill, they go in the other direction for you, that now you're stuck and you are in trouble because maybe there's not a forbearance option anymore. So know where you're at, but look and see what kind of opportunities exist right now, because it's just not normal. And if you have questions about that, if you've heard this and you go, well, I wonder how that applies specifically to my housing situation, you can always reach out via Twitter. It's at CW Burns, or you can go to dynamicmoney.com. You can ask any questions and we will get back to you with thoughts on that. But friends, thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week. And please remember that your life is way more than money.